arms.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you what. I'll bring the acoustic home, and I'll play the acoustic and play the drums, or I'll play the guitar and play drums, and we'll record a new one of those.
Yeah, you play the guitar, though. I'm not playing the guitar.
I'll play the guitar.
You play the guitar.
Okay. Fish and Frank here, and the actual real area fishing report.
Okay. Theoretically.
Yeah.
Unless you get squirreled again.
Yeah, well, I get squirreled all the time.
That was a good interview, though.
Okay. I mean, the man's a walk-around living legend.
I'm not saying you shouldn't have gotten squirreled by him. You absolutely should have.
Okay, but to bring you up to date on the area fishing report, we started out on the last broadcast with the Peace River systems. There wasn't a lot going on up there. We were talking about 760 at the boat ramps from tilapia. You are going to find a little bit of bass, snook, the possible other fish up there, but not a lot of reports from up the river this week. Went down to the 41 bridge, some black drum Josh was talking about, and some Goliath grouper right around the base of the pilings. These are actually probably 40-pound, 100-plus-pound Goliath grouper there at the 41 bridge, possible to catch. Do remember you have to let them go. They are not black grouper, gag grouper. They are Goliath grouper.
And how do you tell?
Round paddle tail.
That's right.
So there is some redfish, but most of them have been caught from the Punta Gorda side, lower slot to below slot. Redfish at the 41 bridge, getting down to Lashley Pier. Not many reports, but Josh had heard of people catching some pretty nice Jack Crevel there at the Lashley Pier. And working our way over to Bayshore Pier, some bull sharks and bull sharks. Robert had Josh talked about some smaller trout and a few nice lemon sharks being caught there in that 50, 60 inch range.
Which they thought were bull sharks.
Thought were bull sharks, but if the dorsal and the fin right by the tail are the same size, it's a lemon. A lemon is not yellow, it can be any color. Then we went on to the Port Charlotte Canals. If you listen to the other one first, I'm just going to give you a little review. Sponsored by Ray Smith Excavating. Great guy, Ray. Good friend. Excellent at his job. That's why it's Ray Smith Excavating. Bridges on Edgewater, you're seeing some snook and tarpon, but the tarpon could be almost anywhere at any time. There's some little black drums Josh was talking about from like 10 inches all the way on up into those 60 pounders. So it's a nice drum in the Port Charlotte Canal system. We got over on the Eljabeen and the pier there at Eljabeen. We've got possible tarpon over there. A lot of nice jacks. Josh was talking about some tackle wrecking, drag destroying bigger jacks there, which actually sounds fun. Possible cobia, mostly smaller ones.
Yeah.
And that brings us into the Myakka River proper, and that's where we are at this point. So we go back to the fishing report as it's supposed to be. Sorry about getting squirreled on the last one, but hey, it's me. That's what I do. My show. Sorry. All right.
Don't like it, don't listen.
They don't, so, you know. Okay, you know, hey, this is supposed to be fun, and you got to take opportunities to talk to guys like Barry from Star Rods. I mean, these guys are literally legends, and I want to make sure that I take an opportunity to talk to them. Myakka River System, sponsored by Murdoch Tire and Auto. Amazing people. It's Jim. He's just too cool. You had an experience with him. Josh,
I've had multiple experiences with him, and I'll tell you, he is able to, if he can help you out with something, he'll help you out with it. It's just amazing how quick he's been able to turn around some of the problems that I've had with the truck, which haven't been that many, but when you have a problem, you got to have it taken care of. And he knows exactly what's wrong with it. You know, 90% of the time, you describe it, he looks at it, and he says, oh, okay, I know what this is. And he's right.
It's uncanny, isn't it?
He's magical that way. Mm-hmm. And while I'm waiting for him to repair the thing, you know, I've seen him help people out in the parking lot, not charge them anything for it if there's not really any work that had to be done. Just tell them, oh, well, it was this stick stuck underneath your car. You know, that's where all that noise is coming from. So,
I mean, just a good guy.
Yeah.
I can't. What more do you say? Okay, Myakka River, Tippecanoe, Cattle Dock. Anything, Robert?
At the north end of the Myakka, there's been some catch and release snook.
Okay, north end of the Myakka? Cutoff.
The cutoff, sorry.
Okay.
North end of the cutoff, there's been some catch and release snook, mostly on the smaller side. I've heard of a couple redfish, There's been some trout moving into some of those deeper potholes, and not numbers by any stretch, but a little bit better quality. And then I've heard of some pompano on the riverside of Hog Island. Right. You know, it's been a little buggy inside the cutoff, so not a lot of guys have been going in there that I've heard about in the past week. I'm sure there's a couple lunatics that probably regretted getting stuck in there.
I'm sure, but we didn't hear from them because they're still at home trying to recover from all the blood loss.
Right? It's amazing how many there are out there from everybody talking.
Yeah. And not bad on the bugs if you don't touch the mangroves.
Yes.
That helps.
Mangroves, you get them all excited.
Or if you take Robert with you, because they'll just flock to him.
Right.
It's always been my thing. I don't need bug spray of Robert. They ain't even going to get close to me. Anything in South Gulf Cove, the canals, anybody?
I heard about some tilapia and Mayan cichlids being active in there. Guys who are going in there expecting to catch redfish and snook underneath the docks were instead catching the tilapias and Mayans.
Okay.
And people don't realize how good of eating they are.
They're delicious.
You guys were talking about that earlier today.
Yeah. If you enjoy eating snapper, you're going to enjoy eating wild-caught tilapia and Mayan cichlids. Don't equate the tilapia that you're going to catch in the wild with the tilapia that you get at the grocery store. Those things are farm-raised. Those things are imported from China. It's a totally different fish when you catch it wild. It's actually an excellent panfish.
Okay.
So if you eat snapper, eat those. It'll be pretty much the same thing. And they were eating dead shrimp, which started out as live shrimp, but the water was too fresh.
Very cool. All right. Now, it takes us over to the West Wall, sponsored by Luigi's, home of the fishing club. And, okay, one little squirrel.
Okay, tiny squirrel.
Tiny squirrel.
Chipmunk.
This is going to be a chipmunk. Did you like the new format I presented for the fishing club?
The new format is good. It could probably use a little bit more tweaking. I would like to be a little bit further away from the screen so that I can see it a little bit better. It's difficult to give an accurate assessment. You saw it as good as you were going to see it.
Yeah. Robert, what did you think of the new format for the fishing clubs?
I love the expression on the people's faces. They seem to really, truly enjoy it.
Okay. By new format, what we did was a friend of mine gave me a projector to hook to my computer. And so now we can, Josh gave me some pictures, and I took some of my pictures, and we put them up. I got everybody laser pointers so that when we were talking about being on the flats or being somewhere, you could actually see the picture of what we were talking about, and they could use the laser pointers to point out what they were exactly meant by what they were doing. And why they were looking at what they were looking at. So it seemed to go over well. It needs a lot of tweaking.
Sure, but it was the first go-around.
Yeah, it's the first go-around, and I agree. A lot of tweaking.
I think it went unbelievably well for its first go-around, though. I mean,
prep work, because this is going to be a lot of work ahead of time, and it's going to make it easier at the show, but it's going to be a lot of work ahead of time.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, the measure of it is ultimately going to be the value that it gives to the folks who come out to the meeting to pick up information. And in that regard, it's definitely a success already, and the tweaks that you're going to add to it are just going to make it that much better. And people really liked having the variety of viewpoints on things because, you know, for example, you have a slide that shows a mangrove shoreline. We were talking about the different spots that we would choose to target and why. And just that amount of information, I mean, you got three people or four people sitting up there on the panel, and you got three or four different ways of doing things.
And it was very good. I was really impressed. You guys gave great answers with no rehearsal. And unfortunately for you guys, I think that's the way I'm going to keep it for the panel, because I think if you tell people about it ahead of time, they come up with more concoctions than they would if you just ask the question and get them to answer it.
No rehearsal is good. But you need to go through the photos a little bit more in depth and make sure that you know what you're going
to be well rehearsed.
Yeah. And you know what would help a lot? If you switched up the photos a little bit for the second night so that they're not the same, or at least not in the same order, a photo that's similar but not the same. That way you can't pick the exact same spot and give the exact same answer.
Yeah, but the one thing about this is supposed to be the same show both nights, so everybody gets the same information. I understand what you're saying. But anyway, I'm not going to squirrel too much.
Chipmunk.
It was a little chipmunk there. This is sponsored by Luigi's.
Westwall.
The Westwall. My favorite's the Works Pizza. Love it. Okay. Let's see. What's on the Westwall?
Basically, from the radio tower south down to Cape Hayes, there has been some bigger tarpon on the outside edge of the bar there, with a assortment of bull sharks, a few black tips, and some miscellaneous ladyfish. If you can find some of the ladyfish, you're going to find the bull sharks and the tarpon. And then on the inside of the bar along the bushes, mostly where you're seeing some moving water, there has been a few redfish, quite a few catch and release snook, and then kind of mixed on top of the bar, there has been some pompano and some juvenile tarpon. And almost all of those, you know, the pompano, tarpon, redfish, and snook are all being caught on shrimp. You know, I mean, we can make fun of the size of the shrimp that we got, but the shrimp population in the harbor this last month has been, like, epic. So, they've been working extremely well.
Yeah, lots of shrimp, lots of crabs out there. So, both of those things are making good baits, because that's what fish are focusing on. Because bait fish populations still aren't what they're supposed to be. Although we're seeing a little more of it. And those ladyfish, I haven't heard about scattered ladyfish. I've heard about clouds of ladyfish, big schools of ladyfish that guys are running into and catching as many as they want. You know, just, I talked to a couple guys
about
who,
white bait.
Well, but I talked to a couple guys who said that they were having a really good time with the grandkids out there. They were out there and just fish and fish and fish until the kids' arms were basically falling off.
That's the way it should be, though.
All right, Cape Hayes is sponsored by Finor, and I gotta say, I sold some Marquesas today. Guy who already had some, and he was saying, well, what about this one, what about that one, talking about different brands. I said, well, the truth of the matter is, the Finor Marquesa is, from what we can tell, finish, function, all that around, it's probably the best buy in the market right now.
Oh, yeah.
Versus any other brand of those conventional offshore, you know, lever drag reels. They're heavy, but that Marquesa is just holding up really well. So it's actually become, you know, easier and easier to sell the Marquesas because they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, which is provide a good reel at, I would say, a reasonable price. They're not the most expensive or the least expensive, but for what they are, it's a pretty reasonable price.
Yeah.
But the finish holds up great.
And everything on bottom is holding up great.
But I think when you spend that much money on a reel, you buy it because it looks good. It's silver and gold and all that. You would like it to stay that way as long as possible.
Right.
Little minimal maintenance, and the Finor holds up good. So we're going to call that a win for Finor on the Marquesas. And let's go to Cape Hayes. What's fishing report?
Mostly what I'm hearing about is on the Boca Grande side of Cape Hayes, and that along the edge of that deeper trough or the drop off there, handful of pompano, some small sharks like bonnet heads and Atlantic sharp nose, some ladyfish and some Spanish mackerel, and then a couple guys have hooked into some fairly good sized bluefish over there too. So kind of a little bit of a mixed variety of stuff.
To that I'll add a handful of flounder and a whole bunch of aggressive puffers.
As opposed to lazy puffers?
Well, as opposed to puffers that, you know, you expect are probably there, but they're not actively pursuing your baits and even your lures and chasing them down.
Gotcha.
These guys seem hungry. Or really mad. One or the other. It's hard to tell with puffers.
Yeah, most of the time I think they're just mad.
Yeah.
Just mad. I think they're just nuts.
Yeah.
Look a puffer in the face one time. Look at his eye, and he's like, there's nothing going on in there. Eat, bite, destroy. Eat, bite, destroy. Okay, yeah. Chew, chew, chew. I'm sorry. What was it Bush said? I've looked into his eyes, and I've seen his soul. And that puffer fish is nuts. He was always talking about Putin. That was funny. I'm sorry. I have political humor. Okay. All right. Penn is sponsoring Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, and Gallagher's Cut, and we're going to put the sponsorship to the new Conflict reel, the Conflict 2, lightweights, machine-cut gears. It's coming out soon. We're number three on the list in Florida. We got our orders in early enough. We will be the third place in Florida to get them, including chain stores.
Now, did they show you the interior of that reel at the show?
Yes.
How Clash-like is it?
Pretty Clash-like.
So basically a Clash, but in a lighter weight body.
Lighter everything, yeah. They've actually done a pretty good job with it. It's not as light as a couple of the other ones, but you're going to... I haven't got them both on a scale. We're going to do that. But when we do get them in, I'm going to put them on the scale and see the big value added is they're, let's see, $50 less than comparable lightweight reels.
Right. And you always have to balance lightness and durability. If they strike the right balance between those, that could be my new favorite reel.
And that's what I'm hoping for, because sometimes a very, very light reel does not balance up well on the rod, depending on the rod you choose. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how this is going to go. I'm really hopeful this Conflict 2 is going to be a major hit for Penn. They've worked so well with us that I'm hopeful. And I'm just so hesitant to say, wow, I love this.
Right.
Because for the next year, it's going to be, we think it's good, we think it's okay.
Yeah, so it's got to be fished some more before you can really say.
Yeah, I mean, seeing the prototypes, but that don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
Prototypes are never the same as the production. So anyway, back to Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. What's going on, anybody?
Well, in Bull, on those deeper mangrove shorelines, a lot of the stuff that we were talking about at the fishing club meeting, you know, fishing on higher tide phases, getting your baits up underneath the edges of those trees, that's where people have actually been finding some redfish. And, you know, it's a matter of being able to cast your bait into the spots where those fish are. If you're not getting it up underneath that shaded edge, you're not getting a fish. So you got to let your baits get up underneath where they need to be, let the tides carry them up underneath there, and be patient. But those redfish are there, and quite a few of them have been over slot. I've also talked to some guys who were doing some trout fishing out there, and most people were finding a handful of them. A couple people were finding some larger ones in Turtle Bay. Larger this time of year, meaning keeper.
You been hearing about any of those juvenile tarpon back in the back of Turtle Bay at all?
I talked to the guys who saw a few, but weren't able to get them interested in anything.
Gotcha.
Just see fish rolling.
How about the sharks? Are there some small sharks back in there? I haven't heard anything.
They didn't mention anything about it. Gotcha. And I would expect that there would be some bonnet heads back in there, but they didn't say anything about it. So either they didn't see them or didn't care.
Okay. And it takes us out to the Cape Hayes Reef. Anything out there?
Spanish mackerel, a couple bluefish, one short cobia that I heard about, and that's it.
I've heard nothing.
Been pretty quiet. A lot of guys have just been kind of rolling past that, taking advantage of this beautiful weather and going offshore, hitting the reefs.
All right. So now this brings us to Radio Waterline, which we have two-thirds of the team here today, given the fishing report. Radio Waterline is sponsoring the Gasparilla Sound Tailing Flats. If you click that image, it takes you to, let's call it the memory page, where you have all of the back issues of the radio show on.
So all my archives, yep.
If you want to listen to all the archives and listen to the other shows that Robert, Mike Myers, and Josh have done, just click that link. Good show. Saturday morning, Kix Country, 92.9, 7 to 9 o'clock.
Yep, and you can listen to last week's that Robert and Mike did by themselves while I wasn't there, which I haven't listened to yet because
He's got control issues.
I don't have the stones.
Kind of like me when Steve does this. I like it. I think he's doing a great job on his shows, but he always moves my microphone.
Right.
And I'm used to it sitting here. I just pull my mic over. Everything's where I want it. And now everything's moved. And if he wasn't doing such a great job, I wouldn't let him do it anymore. But he's doing a great job. So anyway, Gasparilla Sound.
It's a tough life he's got when moving his microphone. An extra 5 inches is the roughest thing
in
his day.
First world problems for sure.
It's not what I'm used to.
I know.
Not what I'm used to. I'm used to being where I want it.
Yeah, old guys set in their ways.
Yes, okay. Old white men, we're all a pain. Okay. All right. But then again, I know a bunch of old black guys ain't anything better, so I guess it's just universal old guy.
Yeah, universal old guy.
Okay. So, all right, so we're back to Gasparilla Sound on the tailing flat.
Been some redfish, ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, a few handfuls of trout, mostly on the smaller side from what I've been hearing about. And it's just been kind of mixed match over there. I mean, yeah. It's by far the best activity to keep the rod bent. I just haven't been hearing of quality a little just bit more quality hopscotch.
And the funky thing is, I mean, I've only heard about people who are driving past it this week to go to other spots. Why didn't you stop there?
Well, you know, I think that's not as uncommon as you would like to think. All right. Brings us over to the Placida Pier / Trestle. Anything going on there?
Honestly, it's been a little on the quiet side off the pier itself for the shorebound fishermen. But the guys who have been in boats fishing along the main part of the trestle has been getting some mangrove snapper, a handful of pompano, a couple of Spanish mackerel and bonnet heads.
And some of those mangs have been pretty nice ones.
Yeah.
Good 14 to 16 inch fish.
You know, that water is still really pretty clean when it's coming in. Going out, it's got a little bit of the tannin look to it, but it's not dirty. We've been, we had all that massive rain, and now it's just been a consistent rain, so it hasn't blacked it out the way it, you know, sometimes does on that strong outgoing tide.
Well, we were talking about on the Peace River, on the one that was supposed to be the fishing report, but actually turned into just a giant squirrel BS session. The river's was up to 8, and now it's back down to about 6.5 foot. It's flowing right at average flow. I think it's 1,550 cubic feet per second, which means it's doing very nicely. It's a good flow for this time of year. It's exactly where everything should be. For once, something's averaged out.
Something's kind of normal.
Not for actually fishing, but just an interesting thing if you happen to be out there. I heard about some devil rays sighted running up and down the trestle. Look like a manta ray, but much smaller scale. Think a manta ray that's about maybe 2 feet 30 inches across.
Gotcha.
And a much smaller, what are those called?
The things that stick out the front of their face.
The horns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, you don't know the name.
No, it's a cephalic something. It'll come to me later.
All right. Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay. I haven't heard any good reports up until you get all the way up to the Indian Mounds Park and up along the ICW along that way. Some of the kayak fishermen have been fishing that entire shoreline along the mainland side, getting into some trout, an occasional redfish. A lot of little chicken, catch and release snook, and then still an occasional bluefish and an occasional mangrove snapper popping up on them.
I've pretty much been hearing carbon copy of what you've been hearing on that. Now, I have been hearing that the incoming tide has been better up there than the outgoing tide has been.
And I could believe that. I mean, it's such a vast area through there, and the way that intercoastal comes through, it's got to be a little on the stagnant side coming out and get those fish a little lethargic.
And from what I've heard, the larger uncorked bottleneck there at Stump Pass is now letting more water through, and it seems to be having a positive impact on the water quality there in Lemon Bay, at least on a good incoming tide.
Still got to get out there and check that out.
Yep.
I've not seen it yet.
Nope. Me neither.
Why not? You're supposed to be up on like current events.
I'll tell you what.
Sorry.
If you guys pick a day where the three of us can actually be off on the same day, we'll take my boat and run out and take a look at it.
So that's August 13th of 2018?
Yeah.
Does that work for you?
I tried.
Okay. I'm throwing it out.
We'll try to make it work.
Tom Adams Bridge.
I have not heard anything over there this past week, to be honest.
The reports have not been great, but guys have been catching a handful of mangrove snapper over there, a couple of pompano, some short trout, and said they got a couple of gag grouper that were almost but not quite keepers there underneath the bridge.
It's not too bad. It's more than I heard.
It's just two guys.
Just two guys?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes with the reports like that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but the good thing is they just gave a report from a couple of guys. So we got to put up something.
Right.
All right. I got to tell you, this next sponsorship is truly, truly just awesome, amazing company. There's just literally such good friends of ours. Sean from American Fishing Wire. High Seas, AFW, you know, however you're going to put it. AFW High Seas, American Fishing Wire, Toothproof Steel. Just, I can't imagine a better company as far as people, what they do with the employees, everything about AFW is just spot on, top of the line. I laugh at people when they try and sell me other swivels and stuff like
leader material,
all the rest of the stuff. Oh, but this is it as good as AFW? Well, you know,
So you're saying as a company, AFW is better than Fish and Frank's? Because you said you couldn't imagine a better one.
It is. They pay their employees better. I wish it wasn't the case, but if I had their money, I would pay everybody better, too. I just don't have their money. So based on, you know, profitability, they're doing way better than me. So let's see. Reefs and Wrecks, the Gulf of Mexico, what's going on out there?
Definitely by far your best bet of anything going on out there. The water's been super calm, except for the last 2 days from what I heard. Let's start at the farthest point. I mean, basically 45 to 55 miles out, the guys have been still going out every weekend and getting some of those red snapper. They're running into, while anchored or drifting out there, they're running into dolphin, some of them up to 15 pounds. An occasional wahoo, occasional blackfin tuna. And then as they're moving in, once they get their limit, which is relatively quickly, they're moving into that 30 to 35 mile mark, and they're getting some red grouper up to 25, 30 pounds, some gag grouper in the high teens and low 20s. Same scenario, they're getting the occasional dolphin and tuna swimming up to the boat. And then as you get into that 20 miles or less, one reef has got some unbelievable mangrove snapper on it. The next reef has the lane snapper on it because they're still kind of segregated out there because they've still got another couple weeks and they'll do another spawn. And then I've been hearing some pretty good reports of some barracuda and permit at a lot of the nearer shore reefs, like within 10 miles of shore. So the offshore activity has been really pretty productive. Along with some Spanish mackerel, some king mackerel, and even some bonita. So it's been a pretty interesting chew going on out there. And I always tell everyone to start off at their farthest point they can and then work their way in as the day progresses.
It's a little different. Because of the afternoon thunderstorms, if you're going to go out and you want to make it out deep, you got to go deep first and then watch for the storms. If storms start popping up, then you come into shore again. But in the winter, when the water's cooler, I start at the closest reefs and then work my way out as the day progresses, because usually the weather's not going to get any worse or any better. It's just going to be the same all day. But this time of year, if I'm planning on running out, I run out, get my deep water in, and then when I work my way back in.
Yeah, and because we're running so far to get to those snapper and those bigger grouper, you need to get started real early. You know, some days we've had, you should be getting out there while it's still dark. You should be on the water and looking around at, hey, look at that, it's dark, I'm going to get to watch a sunrise over the water. That's the way it should be. And you know, the nice thing about getting out there really early like that is if you're on your site, you can put over a little portable underwater light and you can start drawing in some of those squid and flying fish to you. And there's been a lot of that stuff going on out there, and squid are not that hard to catch if you're willing to go out there and drop over. All it takes is a half a sardine, and it doesn't even have to have a hook in it. Drop that over when you get the squid there in the lights and let a squid grab a hold of it. Once he's held on to it for about 10 seconds, he's decided that it's his for the rest of his life. And all you need to do is lift him up on the line and drop him right into your live well. You may actually have to peel him off that sardine, and you don't need a hook. If you put a hook in it and that squid gets hooked, now he's going to try to bite you, now he's going to ink, now he's going to be all upset about stuff. No hook. He holds on to it. Sling him right in. Peel him off. Drop over. Get yourself another squid. And it's amazing what you can catch on a live squid versus a frozen one.
I'm actually looking for an open water houseboat type thing. I need to go fast. I can't afford a trawler, so I'm looking for one of those big bow ones that, you know, you can take a little bit of water with.
Mm-hmm.
Just gonna go out there and drop the hook, spend the night on the out in the Gulf where you can't see shore, have the lights out running at night, and exactly do what you're saying. Just chum all these amazing species, and literally sometimes you're so enthralled looking in the water at all the different things that come up for the lights. I've actually, over the years, have spent looking there, oh my God, oh yeah, I'm here fishing, okay, I want to catch that one.
Yeah, you get flying fish flying into the boat, running, knocking themselves up against your hull, sometimes swimming in schools through the light, and seeing those things swimming in the water is weird because their anatomy is so strange, they just look bizarre.
Yeah.
But you attract up all kinds of little stuff, these weird juvenile jacks that are bright gold with black bars on them, and little pilot fish and bizarre jellyfish and all sorts of stuff out there.
It's amazing how many different species of things are out there. Okay, we're going to start talking about the passes. We got Ponderosa, Redfish, Captiva, Boca, Little Gasparilla, Stump Pass, or Venice. And you can pick any one of these where something's going on. This is sponsored by the Tsunami Shield Rods and Reels, which, when we can get them in stock, it's pretty cool. I like them as a set. If you're going to buy the reel, I think you almost want to buy the rod to go with it.
Seems to balance out very good.
It seems it's a solid carbon rod. It's not a hollow blank made by most of them. If you
picture, it's not a feather light rod.
But if you picture a long, large steel needle where they wrap the stuff around it to form the shape of the rod. I don't know if they inject or pour this or what they do, but it's like the old solid glass rods, but it's solid carbon. And they're not heavy. They're different feeling, but I like it. But I kind of like the shield with the shield. I haven't tried the shield reel on its own or the rod with another reel on it. And I guess maybe I should start playing with them with other things. I did like them together, though. I was actually happy about the way they felt together.
That's cool. So, well, the low-hanging fruit in the passes has been the snook. I mean, snook are in full swing for the spawn. Those fish are out there. They're abundant. There's lots of little buck snook running the beaches near the passes. And then the passes themselves, you've got a mix of sizes that are out there. Getting out there early in the morning has been key to catching some of the larger fish. Smaller fish have been willing to bite even well into daytime, even when there are bathers out there in the water, which probably is because we have somewhat of a lack of bait fish out there, and those fish are competing a little bit harder for food right now. But it's a great bite out there. Again, these fish are there to spawn, so single hook baits, mash your barbs down, catch and release, be careful, don't drop them in dry sand, take your pictures, get them back in the water, all that good stuff.
Anything besides the snook?
There still has been a few tarpon around Captiva Pass and Boca Grande Pass. Been an assortment of sharks, primarily down in Captiva Pass, in the vicinity of Captiva Pass. And then there's also been some decent whiting at the Captiva Pass. Captiva Pass seems to be, the last couple weeks, a little bit hotter than Boca Grande Pass, from the reports that I've been getting. But all the passes have been doing fairly good in general.
I keep hearing about the gag grouper in Captiva.
Yeah, I haven't heard about them in over a week and a half, so I'm not sure about that.
We do have some mangrove snapper on the south side of Boca Grande Pass.
No, I heard about it when I got this morning. So
okay.
Guy was out there this week. And what was that, Josh?
Mangrove snapper on the south side of Boca Grande Pass. They're in that 30 to 40 foot range.
It's pretty good, even with that darker water out there, huh?
Yep. Yep, they've been pretty good out there. It's weird because a lot of those fish have been smaller ones than the ones that they're catching at the trestle. You know, they're finding 8 and 10 inch fish in there, but there's still some good ones in the mix, and they seem to be pretty hungry down there. Basically, drop a shrimp down to the bottom, and as soon as it hits bottom, you may as well start reeling up because it's probably already been eaten.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk about if you're going to go out along the barrier islands and walk the beach. Minnesota Key, Venice, Captiva, Boca, whatever beach you want to go to. If you were going to walk along there, this spot is sponsored by Josh the Fish Coach. If you click that, it will take you to his website. Josh, do you think you could tell us a little bit about Josh the Fish Coach?
Well, Josh the Fish Coach is the same as the other Joshes that I also am.
The same as you are.
Yes, yes, that is me. And
just a different hat when he decides to wear one.
Yeah. I don't usually wear hats. They leave weird tan lines on my shaved head. So
I thought it was the weird head.
Well, there's that too. Thank you.
All right, we've determined now that Josh has different tan lines for different things he does along with his head. So
yeah, and as the fish coach,
where is your head when you are the fish coach?
Well, my head is firmly oriented towards helping somebody with catching more fish, at least in the future. And it's a little bit different from what traditional charters are, because when you go out on a charter boat, the idea is that you're going to go out and catch as many fish as possible. And what I'm doing is something a little bit different. I go out with people on their boats. I go out with people on the beach. I go out on the piers, even in the people's backyards. And I help them figure out how they can catch more fish in the areas that they already are fishing, tweaking their techniques, tweaking their tackle a little bit, showing them some new stuff.
But you teach how to tie knots, how to cast, how to, you know, work a lure. I mean, if you want to know how to throw a cast net, it's all the general...
Not the cast net thing. Okay. I'm still not going to teach people how to throw cast nets yet. I need to be better at that first.
All the general information that they're wanting to know about fishing and, you know, how do I do this, how do I do that?
Yeah, and it goes everywhere from, you know, I've never fished a day in my life and I need to figure out how I'm going to do this because I live in Florida and there's salt water all around me, to I've been down here for a while, I've been trying to catch fish, I haven't been as successful as I want to be, help me figure out what I'm doing wrong.
Okay. So, anyway, click that, it'll take you right over to the website, and you get phone numbers and all that information, everything. Anyway, if you were going to walk the beach, what are you going to be able to catch? Josh is talking about snook.
Yeah, those snook are definitely there, and I got to tell you, spinning tackle is going to put you at a little bit of a disadvantage, because while you can fish with jigs or you can fish with spoons or anything else that resembles a small white or silver bait fish, the fly guys have it all going on right now. They're throwing those little white streamer flies and they're doing amazingly well with those fish. You know, some guys are catching 30 and 40 fish in a morning.
That's pretty impressive.
There's a lot of them out there, man.
Particular beach working better than another? It's just all of them.
You see guys who are doing real well at Minnesota, walking down towards Stump Pass. There have been some fish up there on the north side of Venice. I guess that's Nokomis Beach on the north side of Venice Inlet. Handful of fish on the south, but better up towards Nokomis than actually Venice Beach itself. And surprisingly, Casperson hasn't been that great from the reports I've been getting. Guys are also doing some fish down there on Boca too.
Right.
But if I were going to pick one, I'd probably pick Minnesota.
I'm going to agree with him on that one, because I've been hearing some mixed reports of the snook up there. Been a couple guys getting a couple flounder and pompano right along the surf line, especially right at that first light in the morning. And then some small little jacks. I haven't heard of any big jacks out there at all, but that definitely seems to be the better place going on right now.
Yeah, and watch for birds. I mean, there have been some bait moving up and down on the beaches there, and if you get the pelicans and the terns diving and showing you where there's some bait fish schools, that's always going to be a fantastic spot to put a line out there. So, obviously, if the food's there, the predators are probably going to be there too.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that a little bit with the bait out there.
Yeah, and it hasn't been everywhere, and it hasn't been super abundant, but if you're fortunate enough to have it happen, that's probably where you're going to find those jacks. That's where you're going to find more of those predatory fish.
All right, Ponarasa, Sanibel?
Ponarasa and Sanibel. The only thing I've heard about is right there at the Sanibel Causeway. Only one report that I got. And they've been getting a few snook in the evening and throughout the night, along with an assortment of tarpon of various sizes. But it seems like it's on one day and off the next day, so I don't know if their time frame is scattered.
Yeah, I saw one fish caught on the Sanibel side of the causeway, actually probably closer to Tarpon Bay. Sawfish about 7 or 8 feet long.
A sawfish?
Yep.
There you go. That's pretty cool.
He was missing the last few inches of his bill.
Not surprising.
Well, the surprising thing was that he wasn't missing his whole bill, because usually if somebody's going to cut it off, they take the whole thing. They don't take just the nib. So I'm guessing it was accidental rather than on purpose.
A lot of different explanations for that possible. Any reports up in the Caloosahatchee?
The lower Caloosahatchee, down by the Cape Coral Causeway. There's been some bull sharks, small guys, you know, 2 to 4 footers, occasional bigger one, a handful of tarpon at night. And then another gentleman said he was actually fishing up closer towards the 41 bridge there and getting into some 5 and 6 foot bull sharks just drifting along the river. He wasn't fishing for anything special, just throwing out cut bait to see what he could get.
I had a report of snook at night at the Cape Coral Yacht Club, but I know the guy, and I take his report with several grains of salt.
Not the hole shaker?
No, I didn't need the hole shaker, but you're going to want a good pinch.
Gotcha. All right. That's going to take us down to Matt Lachey. And at Matt Lachey, what's going on?
The only thing I've heard about is some bigger redfish down in that area. Carl's been fishing a little bit throughout that whole area on the north and the south side around that area and getting and seeing redfish up to in the mid-30s.
There's been a mixed bag of most of the stuff that we've talked about already in the inshore coming out of the bridge. Some bluefish out of there, some small trout, some smaller snook. I'm sure there's a couple bigger ones up there at night, but that bridge gets fished so heavily you're going to have a hard time getting those things to bite. Even a couple Spanish mackerel.
So a good mixed bag of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a pretty area to fish.
It is.
I'm not a big fan of fishing off of that bridge, though, because like you said, there's just too many people at times out there.
There's way too many people. I mean, even just trying to fish there is hard if there's nobody there, because there's so much tackle that's been lost down there that it tends to tangle up your line. I mean, it's very easy to catch other people's stuff that they've lost down there rather than catch fish.
All right, that's going to take us out to Pine Island Sound, and I'm going to let Josh, Reaper Rods is sponsoring this. You fish Reaper Rods.
Well, Mike fishes Reaper Rods more than I do, but I have gravitated more towards the Reapers as I've been using them more, and they're fantastic rods. I mean, I really haven't found a situation where the Reaper doesn't work. You know, I fish topwater baits a lot, and the Reaper works well for that. When I'm fishing soft plastics, it's got the sensitivity to allow me to feel what the tail is doing while it's out there. And it also excels as a light bait or a live bait rod because it's got a soft enough tip that I don't worry about snapping anything off of the hook. So it's really a fantastic all-round stick. What I really like better about it is the feel when you're fighting the fish, though.
Really?
Yeah, it's really got the way that rod bends. I think the fish feels a little bit more stressed about it than you do. And I've used a lot of different rods, and different rods have different feels to them. And sometimes, you know, you'll have a rod that will make a fish feel like it's heavier than it is or like it's larger than it is. With a Reaper, you don't really feel that. At least I don't really feel that, you know?
Kind of gives you the proper feel of the fish.
I feel like it gives me more leverage than it gives the fish.
Gotcha. What I like, American Components, and it's all done here in Punta Gorda. They were in Port Charlotte, but he's moved. I think he'd be classified Punta Gorda now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he got a new house.
Oh, so he's not local anymore? Well, forget him.
Yeah, well, he's across the bridge, and you kind of need a visa to get from Punta Gorda to Port Charlotte over the bridge. But, you know, other than that. But that's a very cool part about Reaper Rods. Tim, great guy.
Yeah, but, I mean, even if he's not local to you, I mean, it's amazing to have somebody who is willing to put his own personal phone number on every rod that he sells. You know, it's right there on the tag. You got a problem? Call the man.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. All right, Pine Island Sound, what's going on?
All around the immediate vicinity of the fish shacks down there, basically Captiva Rocks, the Captiva Pass vicinity, some bigger sharks, some lemons, a lot of nurse sharks. Been hearing of a few bull sharks and black tips, especially in some of those deeper troughs cutting through from the pass going towards Pine Island itself. And then Captiva Rocks, and then north towards Patricio, Yusepa area, there's been some redfish, some few trout, and the trout have been out in that 3 to 5 feet of water, even some guys catching them in the 6-8 feet of water range. Most of them are being caught on pinfish down there. The pinfish seems to be the bait of choice, and then shrimp being secondary. I've heard of a couple mangrove snapper and a couple of gag grouper also being pulled out of a couple of the little deeper holes, I would call them, down there. So,
anything for you, Josh?
Yeah, I haven't got much to add to that. The people that I've talked to who fish down there are more or less hardcore artificial baits guys, and their reports were not very good, not very encouraging. But it's a whole different world if you're willing to use pinfish and shrimp. I mean, sometimes go with the flow. Don't fight it.
All right. It's going to bring us up to JT Custom Pools, who is sponsoring Boquilla Jug Creek Shoals. This is Jason Tari.
Good guy. Good guy.
He's a great guy. Good company. Builds a very nice pool. I don't know what I'll say. You can click that. It'll take you some more information. But I've been friends with Jason a long time, and I asked him if I could put the ad there. We're going to be doing one for Bill Certain Water people. I forget, it's Certain Water something. I've got to get it up. I don't have it up. I'm going to be putting it up on the next ones. But he's another one. These guys have been so good to work with. These are not paid ads. These are ones I wanted to put there. And that's why this one's here. That's why Certain Water's going to be up here. And Curtis Mathis, Home Theater in Venice. These are not ads that they're paying to be on here. These are ads I want to put on. So JT Custom Pools. That's, I did that, not them. But I asked permission. So anyway, Boquilla.
They didn't have much of a choice.
Right.
No, I asked them if it's okay.
I know.
I wouldn't do that to anybody. I'm a jerk, but I'm not a total jerk. All right. Let's see. Boquilla Jug Creek Shoals.
Honestly, Jug Creek Shoals, the only thing I've heard about has been a handful of small trout, a couple of redfish, and an incidental Spanish mackerel coming through. Guys have been stopping there hoping and praying that they're going to find some kind of bait.
Yeah, it's been sparse. Now, this shocks my monkey just a little bit, but I talked to somebody who actually fished that Boquilla pay pier out there,
yeah.
And he said they had a phenomenal time.
Yeah.
That they were catching snapper, that the snapper were actually keeper size, and they weren't the only ones, that there were other guys out there on the pier doing the same thing. And if you were willing to cast out a little bit farther, there were trout. He said they saw some redfish out there but weren't able to get them interested in biting. But he said that the snapper fishing was pretty darn good.
That's a good positive thing to hear off of that pier.
I'm assuming they must chum them up there or feed them something to get them active. Or I don't know. I don't know.
No, that's actually the pier's in a good spot.
Well, I get that. I mean, obviously it has to be in a good spot or the fish wouldn't be there, but to be able to fish it day in, day out, and to charge people to come out there, I don't know. See, if I were running the pier, I'd probably want to chum those fish up.
I don't think they do, but I think it's just in a pretty good spot because it's right along the north end of the island and going back and forth, and it's what I featured on the website, that pay pier. Because it does allow you to access the water, and it is expensive to buy the license to allow people to fish on there. Is close to $1,000 a year just for the license. You have to pay for the submerged land lease to the state, which I'm sure is at least a couple of grand. There's a lot of fees involved in putting a pier out there. It's not cheap by any stretch, and the few bucks you got to pay to get out on it, I think it's worthwhile.
Which is probably why they gave me a dirty look for wade fishing near it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's expensive to have that pier, and it's you know, and then you got insurance liability and all that. People assume, well, it's a pier. What would be the expenses? You literally have to rent
the ground
underneath the pier from the state. Plus, you have to buy a fishing license for it, and that's close to $1,000 just for the fishing license. So if you were charging people $1 to get on, you would have to have 1,000 people just to pay for the license, much less the submerged land lease and insurance and all the rest of that stuff. This is going to take us to Burnt Store Two Pines, sponsored by Shimano. We had a nice meeting with there at ICAST.
Yeah.
A meeting with them.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
It was fun going into the Shimano booth and actually being able to enjoy it. So... I don't remember, but they had something they changed this year, one of the reels.
The Sedona.
Sedona's changed. but I don't remember being overly excited about it. But we looked at a few of the rods, and they've revamped some of the rods again on that lower
and reintroduced end. One of the lower ones
and reintroduced from $100 down to $20 some, and I believe we're going to get back into that market because I liked the feel of them. I thought they were actually dollar value pretty good rods.
Yes.
They've done a lot of restructuring, and this year they actually, I think, just like with the CI-4, they went back in time to when they had good stuff at a good price. And I don't know if they've upped the price of the CI-4 or not again. They usually do every once in a while. But they took it back and built it the way they were building it, and that's what I saw with some of the rods. They're going back to the older Shimano stuff that I really loved years ago.
Right.
So let's see how they do this year. Congratulations, Shimano, really picking up the pace, doing a lot better. So actually kind of happy to be working with them again. I'm not going to be a booger and, you know, keep sour grapes my whole life. Let's see. Bernstler Two Pines, what's going on?
Best trout reports I've heard in the area.
You think the worst freaking ad ever
have been around the Burnt Store area?
Okay, what's going on, Burnt Store?
Best trout reports I've heard around the area. The fish have been a little bit deeper, looking for the 3 to 4 feet depth. A lot of guys trying to fish in that 2 foot depth and not really turning up much, or just turning up little guys. But good numbers of fish down there. Shrimp has been the hot ticket. Soft plastics will work, but shrimp will do it better. And looking for edges between grass and sand, not necessarily potholes, but edges. That's where the fish have been hanging out. So,
okay.
And not just good numbers, but also good-sized fish.
All right, Robert?
A lot of pompano along there, from Burnt Store all the way down to Two Pines. They've been mostly on the outside edge of the bar, but there has been some fish on the inside along that trough. And then there's also been some tarpon activity on the outside of the bar all the way down to Two Pines. It seems like the early morning bite's been a little bit better for those bigger tarpon. And then the juvenile tarpon have been moving back and forth from Two Pines all the way north of Burnt Store. So you got to just kind of look for those fellas.
Okay, that takes us up to the east side, sponsored by Akuma. And that same art, that $50 reel that I like so much from Akuma, mm-hmm. Great $50 reel. And then they have a good $100 reel. I can never remember the name of it. Not a slam for the Akuma reel, but a ray or something. I don't remember what the heck the name
is. Yeah.
But it's the black. It's silver with the black highlights. Azores. $100 reel.
Azores.
Azores. The Azores, good
job.
$100 reel. They did a good job with it. It's worth the money. It's simple, basic, rugged. That's what I like. But their $50 reel, I'm in love with. I think it's a great $50 reel. And they're bringing out dual drag, bait runner, live liner, bait feed, or whatever you want to call it. You cast the bait out, flick the lever, and you got the controlled free spool. So that's coming out in the bait runner, live liner series, or bait feeder. I don't know what they call it.
Bait feeder.
But I will say, hopefully, judging by...
I remember Dai was his bite and run. I can't remember what Okuma's is.
Bait feeder.
But mm-hmm.
ABF.
If it's anything like the automatic bait feeder, ABF, okay.
Mm-hmm.
If it's anything like the single drag reel, this could be a winner for Akuma. It's going to be good, solid reel for the money, hopefully. But we're going to see. It's got some competition in that price range.
Right.
And that competition, it's got amazing gears, rugged body, so... This is going to be a real teller for how Akuma is going to build that reel, but I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged on the Akuma side. I'm hoping they get a winner there. East side, what's going on?
Crickets?
Yeah, I haven't talked to anybody who's fished the east side.
Robert?
North of Burnt Store, but south of Alligator.
Juvenile tarpon are still been the most consistent thing that I'm hearing about, from basically Burnt Store all the way up to Cormorant Key. That whole vicinity through there, they've been on the inside of the bar, moving up and down in little schools. You can go along and find one school, and then you move a little further and you find 5 different schools in a little area. Most of the guys are having best success on shrimp, and also small shad tails, like the DOA shad tails have been working really, really well. Remember, you're only fishing in two and a half feet of water, so light.
Redfish, anything?
Nothing.
Like all right, so I'm going to leave that. Let's head on to Alligator Creek, sponsored by my friends and the people who do all our payroll and everything else at Acline HR, 941-347-8625 is their phone number. And I don't know if they're less expensive or more expensive, but it has been sheer
pleasure.
Yeah.
Relief of stress.
No stress. I mean, they take responsibility for what they do. That's been the biggest complaint I had when we started using payroll companies. And then they sold and we got stuck with another one and they took no responsibility for their action. They screwed up my payroll taxes. I had to pay the fines. This Acline HR, they take care of it and they stand behind what they do. They do it. They do a good job and I don't have any responsibility. Well, some responsibility, I guess, but I don't have any stress except I write the check. So I can't tell you if they're cheaper or more expensive. But I have no stress, and they've done an excellent job. So that, to me, because everybody keeps saying, well, the price of this and the price of that. How much is me not having another wrinkle on my head? I've got enough. I don't need another one.
I don't think anybody would notice one more.
Yeah, one more wouldn't, I guess, be a big issue. All right. Alligator Creek.
Heard some good black drum caught in there up around the burnt store all the way up into the canals coming off of the creek where guys are doing that. But the creek itself has had some fish in it. Also been a lot of catfish in there. So if you want to fish for those drum, fish bigger chunks of crab, and hopefully that'll reduce the number of catfish you're catching. If you're fishing with shrimp, you're probably going to be catching lots of kitties.
Yeah, I've been hearing about those, but I've been hearing mostly about the black drum, the juvenile tarpon and jacks over there in the burnt store aisles and burnt store meadows canals as you go further back inside there. The main canal system or the main creek of Alligator Creek has been a little on the quiet side other than the catfish.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ponce de Leon Park. Anything going on at Ponce? I'm surprised somebody hasn't wanted to sponsor Ponce.
Yeah,
it's
honestly.
It's a well-known spot.
Honestly, the only thing I've heard about this week was some smaller snapper with an occasional bigger one, but it's been a little on the quiet side. I think the no-see-ums have been too terrifying in there in the mornings for our usual guys that have been going in there. How about you?
Couple pinfish.
Pinfish. Wow.
Yeah, well, I wasn't okay. Jumping up to say anything.
All right. This is Charlotte Harbor Construction Incorporated Custom Home Builders. Built nice houses. You may not know that's who built them, but they build a lot of houses in PGI, and they do a great job. And they're really nice people, and they know how to fish.
They like to fish.
They come in here, they like to fish, they're out fishing. You've got something great to, because if you're listening to this program and you're thinking about moving to PGI, you know, give these guys a call, because not only can they talk to you about the houses, they can tell you about the fishing in that canal. You know?
Yeah, because they've probably fished it a lot.
Yeah, they've fished that canal. They know about it. So this is I got to tell you, you know, Charlotte Harbor Construction, they're at 512 East Marion Avenue, 347-4665. Good people. All right. What's going on in the canals, guys?
Well, the canals mostly I've been hearing about has been some black drum scattered up and down the whole thing. The jacks seem to have gotten a little quieter this week. There's not one particular canal that seems to be more active than the other.
Josh?
If you've got a snook light in the neighborhood, there's still some snook on it. Most of them are not going to be the big ones. There's been smaller snooks scattered in there. And there's not going to be huge numbers because a lot of those fish have moved more out towards the intercoastal and the beaches. But they've still been in there. And I've been getting some reports of juvie tarpon on those lights too.
Yeah, I haven't heard much for the juvie tarpon, but they should be in there. They never seem to really leave.
No. They head out into the harbor when bait's out there and hang out with their right. brothers, but there's always going to be some that just stick back in the canals.
All right.
The late bloomers.
Anything from Gilcrest Pier?
Crickets. That road's still under construction.
Anything, Josh?
Nah. I'm sure there's a stingray under it.
I'm sure there's a stingray on that pier somewhere.
Nice.
Okay. The Alligator Creek Reef.
I have not heard anything at all this week off of there.
handful of Spanish mackerel. People trying to catch cobia and not catching anything. People trying to catch sheep's head because there were reports of them and not catching those either. But running across a handful of those Spanish.
Okay. When I only had one fish, I might as well actually print the whole name of the fish. Okay. Out in the deep holes of the harbor, you're often going to see the yellow boat out there, which I had to call to come to my rescue. I ran out of gas. They brought me out 5 gallons of gas. Now, I did have to pay for the gas, but they bring it out and, you know, make sure your boat's going to start. And if my boat wouldn't have started, if that wouldn't have been a problem, they would have towed me home at no extra cost, you know. But I, after all the years of having my CTOW membership, I finally had to use it, and worth every penny. Worth every penny. I had, you know, my cousin on the boat, my sister, my nephew, and we're out there. And how embarrassing is that? And all I had to do was pick up the phone and go, hey, you know, I pulled the fuel filter off. I'm like, no fuel in it. Okay, put it back on. Said, all right, called CTOW. Can bring me 5 gallons of gas. All good. It was a nice experience. And they were pleasant about it and didn't laugh at me too much.
Now, I'm not even going to make fun of you for running out of gas out there. I mean, even though you should have checked.
Yeah, I just don't know how I did.
I don't know how you did either.
It's going to happen should've to checked, you someday.
So. Oh, I have no doubt.
I have no
idea. But you're going to be smart enough probably not to say a word, aren't you? It'll slip.
You're going to have your CTOW membership and just never speak about it, I bet. Okay. Deep holes in the harbor, what's going on out there?
There's been a peppering of tarpon scattered all over the place out there. Just no one spot being more consistent than another.
There's also a salting of sharks.
Nice.
Well.
I like it.
It's been a good mix, too. I mean, there's been lots of those smaller fish, but there's been a handful of some decent-sized ones out
now,
there.
I got to tell you, all I'm hearing about down in the middle hole and the lower hole is the sharks. The giant sawfish.
If you get lucky, sure, a giant sawfish is possible. Yeah. But, you know, not everybody's going to go out there and catch a 17-foot sawfish just because there happens to be a handful of them out there.
The big sawfish, huge nurse sharks.
Bulls, lemons, some okay to decent-sized black tips even. Yeah, and of course the black nose, Atlantic sharp nose.
And even a couple of hammerheads.
Yeah.
Not bonnets, but hammers.
Yeah. Been a good mixed bag out there. And like you said, that whole lower area, the lower middle 20-foot hole, Pirate Harbor hole vicinity.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. Okay, you spelled giant G-I-A, not G-A-I. All right,
that's gaint.
Okay. Now that brings us to the bait reports.
That's easy. Buy shrimp or pinfish somewhere.
Any pinfish out on the flats anybody heard of?
Most of it's been down around Devilfish and anywhere pretty much down in Pine Island Sound. Nothing in any good numbers on this end of the harbor. The only thing is this last couple days the pinfish seem to have gotten a little bit bigger. You know, last couple weeks they've been that silver dollar size. Now I'm seeing some more in that 3.5 to 4.5 inch range, which is not a bad sign. Seems like everything's a little early this year with stuff. You know, usually those bigger pinners don't start showing up until mid-August, end of August.
Any thread fins in the harbor, or are they all out in the Gulf?
Mostly out in the Gulf. There's a handful of them out there, and they're assorted sizes, small to big, but finding them has been very difficult.
Yeah, I've heard about a couple schools in the harbor, like down around Gasparilla Sound, nothing really north of Cape Hayes, but it hasn't been, you know, we're going to go get some bait. It's been, hey, look, a pot of bait fish. That's amazing. Haven't seen one of those in forever.
It's getting to be about as rare as a sawfish.
Okay. Now, freshwater report. What's going on in the wide world of bassarino, pinfish? I've heard a bunch of freshwater catfish caught lately. Several people have come in just raving about the catfish.
A lot of bullheads, yeah.
Yeah, bullhead cats.
Yeah. I forget what two they are mostly. They got the butter catfish, which is what
that's
is
a yellow,
that yellow bull.
That's a yellow bullhead. And the other bullhead we have are the browns. Okay. We don't have the blacks.
Okay.
Although technically a channel catfish is a bullhead. They're all in the same genus.
Yeah. It was
well then we can go to sunfish too.
If you want to. What about cichlids?
The woman and her kids were in, and they were talking. They wanted to go out and catch some, bluegills or shellcrackers or something like that. Threw a worm down the bottom, caught a catfish, caught another catfish. They just had a ball, and she was just so excited because they had the fish fry, the whole bit. They were just, just going out of their minds.
Those yellow bullheads are really good eating.
Yeah, they were just, they loved it. So right now, if you're into that freshwater catfish, this is the time to go out and get your cats.
Yeah, and like you're saying, they'll hit the worms, they'll hit any of the varieties of catfish, stink bait. The handful of guys that really target them, though, do seem to do better catching them on the worms.
Yeah, I've never caught more than a handful of bullheads on stink baits. Yeah, that's more of like a
they seem blue to be
cat, flathead cat kind of stuff.
Yeah, they seem to be more predatory. I mean, even though a flathead is extremely a predatory catfish, it seems like those bullheads really enjoy the wiggling bait than they do something stinky and dead, nasty.
And if it is something dead, I've caught way more on dough balls. You know, a half of a slice of bread with the crust removed and just wadded up into a ball and put on a hook.
You don't want crust on there?
It's hard to wad it up properly if the crust is on there.
Gotcha. Just checking. I don't know if they were picky little fish they're not were that spoiling
picky.
Them.
Now, if you're going to be picky about your bread, though, I strongly suggest Martin's potato bread. It has the right texture to form a fantastic dough ball.
I'll roll
a little
back.
More expensive than getting whatever's 99 cents at the bread outlet down there on your way up to Northport, but it works a lot better.
I like it.
All right.
Mayan cichlids too have been plenty active.
Okay. Right now I'm making up a tarpon map. Where would you say the best places, red dot, best places to find tarpon would be right now?
Lower west wall on the outside edge of the bar for the bigger fish, and then the east side on the inside of the bar for the smaller fish. Those are literally the only two places I've heard about them with consistency.
Anything in passes?
There's 50, been a couple 50. Sighted in there, but I haven't had anybody saying that they're catching those fish. It's more like, 50, we're out there
in the passes, yellow dots.
Yeah.
Any place else for yellow dots?
The 20-foot holes, the mouth of the Mayaca. And then maybe even right over there by Placida and Gasparilla Pass.
What are we talking about for as far as anything down by Sanibel?
I haven't heard anything daytime like that.
Two Pines?
Nope.
They should be, but no, haven't heard anything.
Nighttime, do we have anything going nighttime?
The snapper bite on those nearshore reefs.
No,
tarpon.
Well, you said anything nighttime. Make up your mind.
Okay. Any place?
Cape Coral Causeway.
I don't know if you're doing a special nighttime report now or not. You change things all the time, so how am I supposed to know what you do?
On the map, we're doing a nighttime, daytime.
Can't keep up with it.
Mean nighttime.
You're supposed to know what he's doing.
He hasn't changed that in years. That's stayed the same.
Okay.
This is actually fixed. It's listed. Pink dots, night fishing. White dots, a chance. Yellow dots, 50-50. Red dots, best bet. Is there any place I should put white dots for a chance?
The 41 Bridge in El Jobin.
All right. That kind of sums it up. What about Captiva? You did a lot of talking about tarpon through the whole thing.
Forgot about Captiva, sorry. Overlooked that one. That's at least a 50-50. Do you have something that's crossed between the red and the pink?
A mauve
like
dot?
Like purple?
Yeah. Save that up for you. Right, 7, 15, 17. Because I'm going to put that in on the bottom of the tarpon report.
There you go.
It's just funny. We talk about tarpon. So anyway, okay, this is the actual tarpon report. What are the tarpon doing right now?
Come on.
In the middle holes, in the deep holes, up against the edges, sandbars, out in the passes.
Wherever the ladyfish are, if you're going to be out there in the middle of the harbor.
If you can find ladyfish, that's definitely been the key thing because of the lack of food source. They're jumping on whatever they can. you know, the lower west wall on the outside and 4 to say 10 feet of water seems to be where there's been a few more consistent numbers of the larger tarpon. And then up and down that west wall, they've been seeing some schools of ladyfish, so they've been mixed in with those. And then keep your eyes out for free jumping or rolling tarpon, because any one of the holes right now have fish in them. They're just not steady.
Alright. All the holes will have tarpon, but not all day. I would say they are moving in and out.
Yeah. A lot of guys seem to be doing exceptionally well on artificials. I mean, they're throwing bait busters and those storm swim baits and doing exceptionally well. Just blind casting, and some guys are even just slowly trolling or drifting along with their baits out and doing, you know, hooking some fish here and there.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd be doing, is slow trolling, whether it's with a bait buster or with a hoagie, rather than casting. I mean, what are your chances, realistically, of casting it across that tarpon?
Way better.
Much better.
Than musky.
Well, okay.
Unless you're Barry.
Unless you're Barry, right?
He was in here. He said he went fishing for 20 minutes, caught a 46-inch musky, and he said, okay, I'm done. I'm serious.
Okay.
Barry Baroody?
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. 20 minutes. So I'm done.
Come on, the man caught an albino tarpon.
I know, that's what I said.
He's got a golden spoon up his nose.
Golden fishing spoon.
Yeah.
All right, so anything else we want to go over about the fishing report? I mean, we've been all over this thing. This has turned into several hours worth of fishing reports.
Somebody's got a long drive or stuck in traffic.
Yes, if you're, you've got a long drive, because the first one was almost an hour, and now we're got up to an hour and 13 minutes now. So this has been, I'm sorry to put you guys, torturous. Josh is like, oh, you can let me out of this chair anytime now. It's like driving back from Orlando. But anyway, we're getting it to you guys. So, anything else do we need to wrap up with?
Not really. Stay hydrated and enjoy the days and watch the lightning.
Yeah, and get offshore if you have the opportunity. I mean, looking ahead at the marine forecast in the short term, we've got forecasts for variable 5-knot and less winds from now through Wednesday evening. So what more could you ask for if you're going to go offshore? This gives you a great opportunity. Yeah, you got to watch out for the thunderstorms, but other than that, good to go.
Okay. Well, I guess that does it for all of us. We'll get our producer to put on the outro. Thank you guys so much for putting up with this long edition of Radio Fishing. Fish and Frank Chair, Robert and Chair across from me, and Josh Olive. I hear you're thinking about making a captain, Josh. Is this a rumor?
Yeah, it's a
scuttlebutt.
It's a possible thing.
Scuttlebutt?
I mean, scuttlebutt is scuttlebutt being what it is. You know, it's only 30% accurate as a general rule, but it could be a thing. I don't know. We'll find out later. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, anyway, you hear catch up on all the scuttlebutt right here on Radio Fishing. Fishing Frank, thanks for listening, boys and girls. And one day we will get it together. But we promised last week, Saturday. Look, it's Saturday. It's going up. We'll see you in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.